Be'etzus Hashem, we are now beginning our Parsha class, Parshas Truma, and tonight is Rosh Chodesh Adar. It's the first day of Rosh Chodesh, which makes it Lamed Shvat Tov Shin Pei, corresponding with the English calendar. It is now February 24th, 2020. Parshas Truma begins with the following pasuk: Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. We're on page 444 in our art school Chumash. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Tabir El B'nei Yisrael, speak upon the Jewish people, Vayichu li truma, and they shall take for me truma, mi eis kol ish, asher yidvenu libo, from every person that his heart will be motivated to give, tikhu es truma, so you shall take my truma. The story... The Medrash says right away on this pasuk is a very interesting Medrash, that Parshas Truma is right after Hashem gave the Torah, and Parshas Mishpatim talks about the laws, but it focuses on building a Mishkan, on building a sanctuary. The Medrash says, and I'll read it and then explain it. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, I'm quoting the Medrash from the Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron, and he says the following: Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem said to the Jewish people, Marchati Lechem Tevasi, I sold you my Torah, Kaviyachol, as one would so to say, Nemkarti Ima, but I sold myself with it. Not just I sold the Torah, I've connected myself with the Torah. Shenema, as it says, Vayichu li truma, and you shall take for me, or you can translate it with me, truma. We will explain it a little further. Moshal, it's a comparison, it's a moshal, a parable. Lamelech to a king, Shahoyisolai Bas Yechida. He had his only daughter. Uba Echad Min Hamalachim Venatla. And a prince came and married her and took her. Bikash Leilech Loila Arsai. The prince wanted to go to his land. Velitra Leishdai. And to take with him his wife. Omalai. He said to him, Biti, the king said to his daughter, my daughter, Shenasati lecha, Yechadisi, excuse me. The king said to his son-in-law, the prince, Biti Shenasati lecha, my daughter that I have given to you, Yechidoisi, she's my only one. Lifash mimena, eini yochol. To separate myself from my daughter, I'm too attached to her. That it can't happen. Loimelecha al titla, to tell you, don't take her back. Ein yochol. You married her. Lefishehu ishtecha. She is your wife. Elazu tova osali. Do me one teva, one favor. Shekol mokem sha'ata hoylech kita en echad osali. Make me a small little room. Wherever you go, I should always be there. Be with you. She'edo etzlechem. That I can dwell with you. She'eini yochol aniach es biti. I can't part from my daughter. That's the mashal. That's the parable. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. This is what Hashem said to the Jewish people. Nesati lechem es ha'teira. I've given to you the Torah. Lifreish heimena. For me to separate myself from the Torah, Hashem said, I cannot. to tell you, don't take away the Torah, let it stay with me in Shemayim. Eini yachol, I can't. I've given it to you. Ela b'chol mokum sha'ata hochem, any place to where you go, bayis echad asoli, make me a dwelling place wherever you go. She'edu abisaychay, that I will be able to dwell in that place. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'atzuli migdash v'shachanti b'sochem, which is actually the pasuk that is forthcoming, where Hashem is telling the Jewish people, make for me a sanctuary so that I may live in mitzvah. If you look at the pasuk, it's on the same page, on the very last pasuk, that's pasuk ches, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'saycha, make for me a sanctuary so that I may live in them. Chazal, by the way, question, it's a very strange word. It should, in order that I should be able to dwell in it. Why is it b'sochem in them? He told them to build one sanctuary. Why does it say in them? Chazal is telling us exactly what the Medrash is trying to tell us. Hashem wants the holiness of his existence to be in our hearts wherever we are, that we shall make our hearts a sanctuary, a place for the Shekhinah to rest and dwell, to reside by, and then we will have the Almighty with us all the time. Yeah.
It says bitocham.
Right.
Not bitochem.
No, it's a bitocham as opposed to bitocho. See, the word bitocho would make more sense. So the Chazal explained the wording is a bit strange, right? If Hashem said, build for me a sanctuary, which we, in our mind, we're thinking of the Aron and the Mizbeach.
But amongst you.
Huh? B'socham is them. The translation, no, if it were me among you, it would be B'socha-cha. If the Hebrew would have been the way you're translating it. The word B'socho would make the most sense. I'm telling you to build me a house so that I could reside in it, in the sanctuary. But the Chumash says b'socham, which makes a little bit strange grammar. It should be b'socho, not b'socham. The answer is our Chachamim are telling us it means Hashem wants His holiness to be among you, wherever you will live, wherever you will reside. I want my holiness to be there.
Within inside of each one.
But
in everyone.
Right. So why does he need the ark then? Why is the ark?
No, so I mean that begins with the ark, it begins with the Mishkan, but it's going to spread in every Jew, in everywhere. Every Jew should become a place where Hashem's holiness could reside. This is what the measure is saying.
So every Jew should have a sanctuary.
Exactly. That he should be able to say Hashem's holiness is in this Jew, and it's in this Jew, and in that Jew, is among them. And therefore coincides now with the mashal of the daughter that can't part with the king. The Torah is compared to the daughter. The Torah is that priceless treasure that the king can't part with, and says, I want to go wherever you go. And wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. And how will that happen? That if you carve out in your heart, and in your mind, in your conscience, a place for Kedusha, then Hashem says, I will be wherever you go. So even though we're in Golus, but it's very likely and possible for us to provide a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holiness.
So why does it say Vayikhu li truma and not give me?
That is the next thing I wanted to get to.
Thank you.
The Medrash then goes to, okay.
Vayikhu means you take, not you give.
So
give me a truma. Everybody's supposed to give, but this is
so this is what I was. The next thing I was going to say, Zisha, mamish on target. The question is, if you're saying already, everyone is to donate towards the Mishkan. Right, everyone is to contribute to the Mishkan.
Gold
and silver and copper and all the different kinds of fabrics, the blue wool, the purple wool, right, the red thread and the different the wood and with the precious stones and with the spices and with the oil. There's a lot of donations going on. So the Kash, the Medrash asks, why does it say Vayikhu? It should be Vayitnu. Nasa means to give. Vayikhu means to take.
Where does it say to take?
Vayikhu, second
word. It says, Vayikhu, the second word. Da'abel b'nei Yisrael, Vayikhu li truma. And take for me truma means we want them to give truma. We want the Jewish people to give donations. So the Medrash explains on that very point that Zisha brought and raised the question is that any Jew who donates to the Mishkan is taking from the Mishkan. What is he taking? He's taking the holiness of Hashem with him. If you're going to build a Mishkan, then the Tvayikhu li, take from me, by you giving, you're going to be taking from me, you're going to be taking the holiness. We are familiar with Chazal, and Al Chachamim, we know there's a Pasik, we know Yisrael, the Arise of Akutcha Barichu Chadu, the Jew, Yisrael, the Arise and the Torah, Rukucha Barichu, and the Almighty is one entity. By giving towards the Mishkan and enhancing the Kedusha in the Mishkan, you are actually taking for yourself as well. By giving, therefore, you are really taking.
That's like Ahava.
Ahava.
Ahava. It's better to give than to receive.
Here, but here, the Torah is giving you a special insight, and we'll expand on that a little bit later. Hopefully, I'll be able to move on with. I'll show you later to what extent this does have an effect. But therefore, when a person donates to the Mishkan, and in our time donates in building Torah, towards the building of the Torah, supporting Torah institutions, supporting people who are sitting and learning, kollelim and so forth, you're not spending, you are investing. When you invest, you are really taking. If you are taking, you can become a very wealthy person if the investment is a good investment. And your investment, the only difference is that the investment that we put into the stock market that just dropped 1,000 points is a loss of 1,000 points. And right? But the investment in Torah is never a loss. It never goes down. It always goes up. It always goes up. That's a thought that just keep on the side because it may come in handy. It's a good thing to think about. Now, it's an interesting thing. The Medrash says that the word truma, building on the concept of giving, right? What are you giving? You're giving towards the Torah, towards the building. The word truma, says the Medrash, has in it the word Torah. Let's spell the word truma. Truma is tough, resh, vav, mem, hey. Take out the mem, and you have Torah. Tough, vav, resh, hey. Just rearrange the letters. So you'll ask me, what's the mem all about? The mem is the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Har Sinai to learn the Torah. And mem is very significant because it takes 40 days for a child to be formed in the stomach of the mother. And that's when the child finally becomes a human being, the fetus, is developed in the mother, and that first begins in the first 40 days. The first 40 days are crucial. 40 days when Moshe Rabbeinu was in Har Sinai, he was able to absorb the Torah, to learn the Torah, and to be the liaison to bring the Torah to the Jewish people. And therefore, when the Torah is saying "Vayikuli Truma," right, as the pasuk says, "And you shall take for me," right, "Vayikuli Truma," it means really you are really taking for yourself Truma by building the Mishkan, by making the place of Shechina take place happen, and by you doing that, you are actually taking and investing in your own future. The Ramban explains to us the significance of the Mishkan, that the Ramban at the beginning of Shemos explains that there were three levels of geula, three levels of redemption. The first level of redemption was Yitzias Mitzrayim, where the Jewish people left Egypt and they were physically detached from their heirs, from their oppressors, right? From their masters. They were now independent. They were free, completely independent. That was the first geula, the first redemption. The next redemption, that was the first geula. That's when they left Mitzrayim. The second redemption took place when the Jewish people finally, after 49 levels of getting out of Tumah into Kedusha, they arrived at Har Sinai. And there, the second redemption took place of the Neshamas, who are now separated from the rest of the world, of the way the world lived, the lifestyles of the world, the way the world conducted itself. They were redeemed, exactly like, if you remember, when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Tell Paro," right? Shalach esami vayavduni, send out my people so they can serve me. Now they're coming to the level of serving me. They couldn't fulfill that in Egypt, even if they just crossed the border and they're outside and seeing all the dead soldiers by the seashore. Now came a period of vayavduni, and serve me. The second redemption, they were redeemed from the tumah, they were redeemed from the physical connection that they had with the immorality, with the idolatry, and the decadence of a Mitzri. Because they, how else could it be if they were a Memtesh Shari Tumah? They were in the 49th level of Tumah. That was pretty bad. We know 4/5 of the Jewish people never left. That's millions. So they had now reached a second geula, Har Sinai.
That's when they accepted the Torah.
Right. Now comes the third geula. The third geula is the Mishkan, where Hashem's holiness resided in this small abode, which we call the Mishkan, and that's where Hashem's holiness was able to be contained and to be recognized by the Jewish people forever and for generations to come. However, if that was the case,
descendants of Joshua?
The Jewish people weren't always privileged to have a Mishkan. We know that the Mishkan didn't last forever. The Mishkan, when it was transferred to the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first one and the second one. So where did that holiness go? What happened then? Where did the holiness go then?
Still in the Mishkan.
Huh? The Mishkan was no longer there. The Mishkan no longer existed. The Mishkan the Mishkan was destroyed. The Aron was then swallowed in the ground. There are different things at the time. At one point, I mean, the actual Mishkan transferred to the Beis HaMikdash. The Aron was taken from wherever it was. There was Mishkan Shiloh. There was a Mishkan Shiloh. There were different places where the Mishkan was. And the Mishkan, the Aron was transferred to the Beis HaMikdash. At the time of the destruction, the Aron was swallowed up in the ground.
The first time you talk about that?
Yeah. The second Beis HaMikdash did not have an Aron.
Oh, I did not.
Did not have an Aron. The second, the second Beis HaMikdash did not have an Aron.
So what did they have?
Was the Ark in the second one?
The Ark was not in the second one. But they had the Evan Shesiyah, that special stone. That's the foundation of the earth where the Aron was placed. And on that spot, when the Kohen Gadol put the fire right in front, was right by that stone, or on that stone.
Where the Holy of Holies?
Where it should have had an Aron.
Okay.
But the Aron was not there.
What about the other two things? There was the Aron, there was a...
Well, they had the Shulchan, they had the menorah,
uh-huh. They
had the menorah, but the Aron disappeared. The Aron was not there. I read recently that somebody, one Kohen, wanted to reveal where he knew where the Aron was swallowed up. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no location. Because he noticed that the stones were irregular in one place, and he figured and discovered that this is the place, and he was calling his Kohen friends about it. Now that was supposed to be separated, a secret, and nobody was supposed to know. Unfortunately, he passed away before he was able to reveal the place. But Hashem did not want that location to be known. The Aron was there. But I don't want to go into that now, because that was just a tangential remark, which was just a point which we could talk on another occasion. But now let's focus right now. Right now...
Brady's trying to get in.
Who?
Brady.
Oh, maybe Sid?
I got the little red card.
No, he's got the white Audi.
Okay. So right now, all right, let's move on.
I'm on the other side. See, you should have got parked there.
The Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim mentioned at the beginning of the parasha that one should not think that the Torah was given to an elite group of people in the Jewish people. And the way the Chofetz Chaim explains that from the Torah, that all the vessels in the Torah, it says, and when Hashem is instructing Moshe, he uses the term v'asisa. And you shall make this, and you shall make that. But when it talks about the Aron, it says, Va'asu li mikdash. Va'asu Aron. And they should make an Aron. The the population. It's referring to Klal Yisrael. The Jewish people have to have a part of the Aron. The Aron was everyone's commodity.
So everybody contributed to it. Everyone, that's the way of doing it.
Exactly. Everyone, it was supposed to clarify the intention of the right of a Jew. It says in the Torah that when they made the Aron, it says V'asu Aron Atzishitim. Hashem commanded that the Aron shall be made by the Jewish people. They should have a partnership in the Aron. And therefore, the Lashon of Asu is used in plural, that they should all have a part of the Torah. And therefore they're saying that one should not claim he is more entitled to the Torah than another Jew, either because of his intelligence or either because of his financial capabilities. He shouldn't want to claim more of the Torah than any other Jew. Every Jew has equal rights to the greatness of Torah, to the beauty of Torah, and the sanctity of Torah. I remember quickly a story that's just mildly related to this. When the Chofetz Chaim wanted to, for the first time, build a Beis HaMedrash, Chofetz Chaim was already a famous Jew. And he needed donations to help him build his Mishkan, his Beis HaMedrash. And he had a donor, he said, right away, Rebbe, I'll pay for the entire Beis HaMedrash. The Chofetz Chaim says, excuse me, sir. The Torah says, Asu Aron, Atzei Shittim, everybody has to have a part. I give you permission only to pay for one wall. Because I want the rest of the Mishkan or his Beis HaMedrash to be donated by other Jewish people who were also interested in having a claim and having a partnership. Just to show you that the Chofetz Chaim, even then, was sensitive to the fact that everybody should feel he has a chus of building Torah and of learning Torah.
So the Hashem wanted, so he's trying to do the same way.
He's trying to bring out the point that everyone has a share. And remember, since now, especially, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and the holiness of Hashem is only will reside in the holy places such as the Bati Midrashim, like in the shuls that we have around where the holiness of Hashem does reside there, then we definitely should feel obligated to support the Beis HaMedrash that has Talmidei Chachamim sitting and learning in it, and even the Beis HaKnesses the Beis HaKnesses are not on the same level as of a Beis HaMedrash because it's more devoted to the three davening, the three tefillos, to Maariv, Shachris, and Mincha, which is basically what the Beis HaKnesses was designed for. But nevertheless, this is our small sanctuary, and that we should feel committed to give towards it, so that we should have a part of it. So no one should not think for a moment that if you contribute to a Beis HaMedrash, and especially if the Beis HaMedrash of learning, where halacha is taught, like they learn Gemara, and from the Gemara they derive the halacha from their studies, they certainly have a part of that learning, and they certainly are considered a partner of the learning. The Chofetz Chaim takes another interesting viewpoint in how the attachment is a balabas who is not capable of learning a whole day, but it contributes to Torah and supports Torah. How the Oron talks all about the balabas, where it says that when they put the poles in the rings of the Aron. The Lashon of the Pasuk, it says, "B'tabas ha'aron yu habadim lo yusulu mimenu." If you look in the Chumash, let's turn to the place in the Chumash. It's the place where it's Perek Chav Hey, Pasuk Tezvav. Let's.
The inner sanctuary, right? Where
is page 446.
When
they built the Mish, the Aron, they also had poles to carry it. The poles in the Aron were never removed. Once they were put into the Aron, they were there for life. They were never removed. Let's read the pasuk together. You see it? B'tabois ha'aron yiyu abadim. In the rings of the Aron shall be the poles. Lo yasur mimenu. They are not to be taken out. They were there permanently. Says the Chofetz Chaim, a person who supports Torah is compared to the poles of the Aron. That just like the Aron had poles that were never removed, they were there all the time, forever. A person who supports Torah will forever be recognized in Shemayim for having supported Torah, and he'll never be separated from the Aron, from the holiness, from the significance, from the sanctity of him supporting Torah. So he gives as much as he's capable of giving. He's not, if he's able to, of course, learn Torah, then he's even a much greater contributor to the holiness of Torah, because he's learning it. But if he's limited to how much he could learn, either because of his time or because of his education, by supporting Torah, you are considered a partner in Torah, and you are compared to the poles in the Aron that will never be removed from the Aron.
Is this considered like you're learning also? You get the same merit?
Well, to an extent, you're going to be given credit, because in order for the people to sit and learn Torah, they have to have someone to support the Torah. So the people who give to yeshivas and those who give to kolelim, it's mind-boggling. The tremendous.
The supporter is forever, but the ones that learning Torah are not forever. They're not the poles. Only the supporters are the poles.
The supporters of the Torah are those who are they draw the holiness from the Torah, and they are there forever. Praised and recognized.
So I'm saying the poles, the people supporting represent the poles, represents those people.
Yeah, but certainly
forever. But the ones studying Torah, they could stray.
Those who, if they don't learn Torah and they stop, then they stray. But if they learn Torah,
the supporter will never stray. He's forever,
because they are supporting the Torah. We have a similar. I know what you're saying, but again, if a person continues learning the Torah, so he is the source of the holiness of the Aron.
So someone is contributing for someone to study.
Yes.
Then he's perhaps more permanent.
Perhaps
he's
right.
That's what it says.
No. That is a true statement. But you can't say the one who is supporting Torah is greater than the one who learns the Torah. That would be not true.
Right. No, we're saying one is forever, not greater.
As long as
but it's permanent. It's permanent.
As long as you continue.
Permanent place.
As long as
that's not to continue. And now you're looking for permanency in continuation and support.
Okay.
In it's a one-time thing. They support it one time. They didn't contribute over and over.
Okay. I want to finish with a very important thing. And the menorah. Turn to page 450. We have a similar analogy with the menorah. The menorah. And at the beginning, look at the pasuk v'asisa pasuk lamed aleph. It's shlishi. Look at the pasuk v'asisa menorah zav tar, and you shall make a menorah of pure gold, miksha, hammered out from one piece. Te'osa ha-menorah. You shall make the menorah. Yerecha, its main staff, its v'kana, and its branches. Givi eha, its cups, kaftuveha, its knobs, fracheha, and its flowers or blossoms, mimenu you, shall be from the same thing, one piece of gold. That one, and what is holding up the lights, the seven lamps? It's the one in the middle who's supporting the pole. That is a pole that the Chafetz Chaim says it's the supporter of Torah.
That's the same thing?
And it's mixed, it's the same thing. It's mixture. Why does the Torah say it has to be from one piece of gold? The holding up the lamps, and it's holding up the lamps with one piece of gold. It's not tied, it's not started, it's not screwed. It's one hammered out one piece to signify that a person who supports Torah will forever be recognized as a person who made Torah live and be perpetuated forever, and therefore the significance and the honor of supporting Torah has some very, very great and far-reaching merits. I would like to just end off saying that every day there is a bus call that leaves Har Sinai. You don't hear it, but great people can. It says in the Perkei Avos, Perek Shishi, a bus call, an echo from heaven. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, bus call yotzeis mahar chorev. There is a voice that comes out of Har Sinai, u'machrezes v'oymeres, and proclaims and says, woe is to the people who forsake and who insult the Torah. Who are those people who refuse to learn, refuse to recognize that the world was created for the purpose of learning Torah? How wonderful are the supporters of Torah! How lucky we are for learning Torah and for enhancing our lives, our families, and our communities with Torah. Let's continue to learn, and let's continue to be blessed by the bracha of Torah.
Amen.
Have a wonderful week.